come.
They're going to blow for full time right there.
It's time for a look back on today's match.
This is the Full Time Report, the home for MLS in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome in to the Full Time Report. And I created about three or four different rundowns in the last 10 minutes and then got shredded as the game developed. We were planning for a tie. We were then planning for 3 points. Then we went back to discussing a draw here. Joe, it's brutal to see the turn of events, especially when you have the live table pulled up and you see the jump when Mosquera scores a screamer. And then you see the drop right back down there when Manuel, you give one up as well. It's tough to focus on the positives, but there are some in regards to getting a result. And right now, every point you're going to cling to matters. It certainly makes games down the road must win. I think that Philly one now becomes, there is no positive out of a draw. That has to be 3 points now. But what a range of emotions for United in this one.
It was like truly the full gamut of emotions because, Abe, I don't know, like I actually thought this team was going to lose at one point when Elias Manuel had a penalty going up against Brad Guzan that would have given Rebels a 2-1 lead.
And that would have been late. It was the 87th minute.
Yeah, that was
minute.
The end of the game. And you would have thought that if he makes that, Rebels, we're going to be able to ice that game away. Guzan comes up with, another big save. I believe that's his third penalty save of the year so far. He's been fantastic in those situations. And then Edwin Mosquera, 5 minutes later, scores an absolute screamer. So you go from, in that five-minute period, you went from thinking you're going to lose the game to thinking you're going to win the game. And then you, of course, do neither, and you draw it at the end. Obviously, they give up the goal at the end. But just that is truly running kind of the entire range of possible outcomes.
Well, it's also you're running a different range of emotions with the draw, right?
Right.
Because after the Goose PK save, you're excited to get a draw.
Right.
After the Mosquera goal, you're bummed out to get a draw.
Exactly,
and so even though the points ended up being the same, you still feel bummed out about that one. So that's what happens as we go through it. We'll wait to hear what Rob Valentino has to say. I'm very interested to see his reactions to this one because certain things that we broke down before the game were still problematic. I do think they got off to a relatively slow start in this one. They worked their way into it. Some substitutions, changed the formation at halftime, stuff like that. Maybe worked a little bit. So interested to see what he's got to say before we get to Coach Valentino there at Red Bulls Arena. This statistical recap is brought to you by Piedmont. Piedmont Healthcare offers you exceptional hassle-free care closer to home. Piedmont, the official adult healthcare provider of Atlanta United. And look, the stats themselves are not appealing. 65% possession to the Red Bulls. An edge in shot 17-10. I had listed shots on goal 10-2, which means both of your shots on goal went into the back of the net. And XG for Red Bulls, 3.06. XG for Atlanta, 1.61. So, again, there was some dominating factors here by the Red Bulls, but in the end, Atlanta United does secure a point. And
Just to add some color to the stats, I actually thought that the expected goals difference was not as dramatic as the final tally makes it look. Again, it's just over 3 for Red Bulls versus 1.6 for Atlanta. But, Red Bulls had a penalty in there that accounts for about 0.8 expected goals. They also, on just that last goal, because it was kind of wide open after the header, that was also about a 0.6 expected goals on that particular shot alone. So just take out those couple of goals and you're already looking at a tally that's much similar between the two teams. You're right that Atlanta United didn't get off to a great start in terms of they were allowing a lot of shots and they weren't really generating any of their own, but I thought they
had what, 6 corners given in the first 30 minutes was the number that jumped out.
But I'll give them credit for just hanging in there and hanging tough. And because when you're going to Red Bulls, it's never going to be easy. Obviously, this team's never won there before. And I thought that they did a decent enough job just getting this game to the final stages with a chance to get the result that they wanted. And it's just, again, truly heartbreaking that they weren't able to make that happen.
One game that is in action right now, and I just want to update the live table because it has just changed. I know we were talking about Atlanta in 12th place. Nashville just gave up a lead. They were winning 2-1 against Cincinnati. Cincinnati, it looks, has equalized, and so Atlanta does jump back
That's good.
Above Nashville. They are tied in points, but Atlanta has whatever tiebreaker it is, goal differential. So Atlanta back in 11th place in that one. We'll get through the situations and the scenarios in regards to Atlanta and the next couple of games and who they're contending with for that final playoff spot. But as we always do here, and you got a couple of options on this one, our man of the match, Joe Patrick, who are we going with today?
I think we got to go with Bragozan. I mean, Edward Mascara, all credit to him for the goal that he scored. Incredible. Probably the best goal he scored for Atlanta United. But Bragozan, man, he came up big. And like I was just talking about with this team, just kind of getting the game to the late stages, Bragozan, maybe the most important player in doing that. And then, of course, when a game was in the late stages, the turning point seemed to be when there was a penalty called against Jay Fortune that was going to give the Rebels the lead. But if not for Bragozan, who steps up, saves that penalty again, he kept Atlanta United in this game, gave him a chance to win it.
For Goose, that is going to be his fourth man of the match of the season. That brings him atop the team, tied with Saba Lobjanidze. No one else has more than two. It's just Goose and Saba at four, which is not a great sentiment. You know, goalkeeper, I guess.
Goalkeepers they're people too. I mean, they need their love. They need the love. You want your forward,
It'd be nice to have, guy had a brace, yeah, so he's,
right,
you know.
Right.
It'd be nice to have a couple more of those, but that's where it is. And look, we talk about the PK save on its own, but there were a number of saves before that mm-hmm. Goose made that, as you referenced, were integral just to get you into the situation where it is a one-goal game and Mosquera's touch can equalize, because this very easily could have been a 3 or 4-goal game. He made a couple saves off of deflections. Early save with his right paw getting up there on a – I don't know how he saved it. The reaction time is nil.
Yeah.
Happened to be in the right spot.
I mean, so Red Bulls ended up having 3.66 expected goals on target, which is basically –
is that where you want to go? You really want to go there?
Without explaining that metric too
much.
Yeah,
no, I don't think so.
It basically means that Guzan should have conceded 3.66 goals based on where the ball was coming across the net and historically where goals are scored from. And they only give up two. So he really saved about a goal and a half for this team in this game. And then, of course, with the penalty save, doing it in the most clutch situation possible, where, again, I want to reiterate, when he made that penalty save, that was like season on the line kind of moment there for Atlanta United, and he came up big, so you got to give him credit.
And yet we're still here.
And still we're here not talking about a win.
With 1 point, and unfortunately
that's just... What is it with this team? I mean, it seems like so often this season, especially when it's a big goal, it's they concede, moments later, and it's just so deflating. I think that's part of that consistency. We were talking about it before the game, where this team hasn't had that consistency game to game. Even Garth Lagerwey mentioned this when he was talking to Mike Conti and Jason Longshore before the game. They obviously haven't had that, but even in games, they just haven't had that consistency to be able to, grab that big goal that you need and then have the kind of fortitude within the team to be able to hold on to it and make it count. And so that's what gets, I think, really frustrating for fans, when you just see these big moments happen and you want to be really excited about it, and then you just kind of know in the back of your mind there's doom looming around the corner. And of course, in this one, there was.
All right, let's go ahead and back up to Red Bulls Arena. Rob Valentino at the press conference podium.
The final 9 minutes of the game, and why did it happen like that?
I don't have the answer why. But, mixed emotions. Like, you go from the joy of thinking that you've gone and stolen one here, and then, disappointment and sadness that we dropped it. I mean, I think if Brad has a performance like that, we have to reward him with 3 points. He saved us on a number of occasions. And then, it's just stuff that we have, we talk about small little details, challenges, clearing your lines. Yeah, that's disappointing, but we nearly had it.
It seemed like both goals, it was the ball went to one post, came back out. On the first one, it seemed like everybody kind of relaxed for a second. I think the ball was going to go out of bounds, and Red Bulls pounced. The second one, Williams just didn't like he could clear the ball well enough. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, the first one was set piece, and then people were scrambling. I don't think they thought it was going out of bounds. I don't know what their thought was there, but one, we got to close that ball down. And then you got to stay with your markers. I'd have to look at it again stealing that they run off of. Like, we have to stay with guys in those moments. Those are critical moments. Those are the moments that to preach on of, like, in those small seconds, can you be really, really alert? Because you get punished for that one there. And then at the end, when you're seeing things out, yeah. And Derek held his hand up. He wants to clear his lines, and I get it. It's the third game in a week, and it's just that's one little detail. But, yeah, it's unfortunate.
And you went to a formation change to start the game, then you changed it back to the more traditional formation in the second half. Can you just go through the whys of that, please?
Yeah. It didn't work. That's why we changed it. So it wasn't working in the first half and conceding too much pressure in the wide area. So I thought we could get back into our normal shape to put more pressure there. They're a team that typically plays through the middle. So they don't have a lot of quote unquote possession in those wider areas. So they go there, but then they usually go direct three. So I wanted to put more numbers in the middle of the pitch to defend like that. That was the original reason. And I held my hand up on my end, like I asked them to do. It wasn't good enough. I didn't like what was seen. So I make a change. And that's what you're supposed to do when you see something like that. So I made the change, and from there I thought it was better. And there's no telling that with everything I had, all the information I had, I made, in my opinion, I thought it was the best decision going into it. Mm-hmm. Didn't work, so we changed it. Luckily, we got the goal at the end, and that, I think, was going to start to shift momentum and then make the tactical change and personnel change.
Was the Mosquera sub simply just to try to waste time, or were you expecting him to have an impactful performance?
I mean, I was expecting him to score right away with his first shot. I told him right before he went on, I said, score with your first shot, and then we'll celebrate. No, but honestly, it just said towards the end of it, I was looking at how we could make an impact. I think I thought we were pretty solid. And then at this stage, why be safe? And I didn't want to be so open. Almost scared has been dealing with obviously his knee, he's coming back from that. And I didn't want it to be so end to end. But at the same time, if we can go and try to get one at the end, and thought that we'd have some time to do that, and it worked out perfect in that way. But then we concede. So he did a good job coming on and making an impact. So that's important that when they come on, they do something.
And the last one for me, that just seems like it's kind of an example of a lot of matches this season, just little things that aren't going right for y'all, and you just can't get over that hump. Is that fair?
I'm going to stop listening to you, because
that's fine.
I'm going to block out that noise. Like, if I keep saying, oh, yeah, it's a little thing, we're getting them wrong, I'm going to start believing it. And so I need to stop listening. Well, I haven't listened, but I need them to not listen to that. Cut out all the noise that, yeah, if you keep thinking that, you're going to believe it. I believe that we've got something, that we can get something out of this. And that's what I have to keep preaching. You speak it into existence, and we have to work on it. And that's what we do every day. We show up every day with intent to work on things and get better. We'll need some time to continue to do that. Right now, time's not on our side. So we have to really show up and do that work and get 3 points. Like, that's what it's about. If we got that formation change and it wasn't right and all that, and then we still win the game, probably no one really cares. If we run around, you play director, no one really cares how you get the points at this stage. So now it's just about doing that. And it's not a disrespectful thing, but I just want to block out your noise and not really hear it.
That's fine.
Did you get the response that you wanted from energy level, work rate, fight tonight compared to the last two games?
Yeah, it seemed it. You know, third game in a week too. That's really difficult. So I thought they showed little glimpses of it. I still think we have to get better at those things: winning second balls, winning challenges, really putting your foot through it. And then when a teammate makes a challenge, like, how about we encourage them? Well, we get down in their face and pick them back up as they go. Like, come on, you've got something here. Great job. I see it when they get in around the box and then Brad mauls them to pick them back up and encourages them. That's what we need. I'm not saying to stop the play. Like, when they get the right moment, pick your teammate up and let them know, hey, great job, man. I got your back. You go to the next one, I got you. I'll pick you up and we go again. So that's the little things that we're trying to kind of flip and change there in their mentality. But it was slightly better.
When you think back to that idea that you had coming into it, the way the Red Bulls were going to play, kind of clog up the middle, take that away, how much did you guys have time to actually work on it with the quick turn to get there?
One day. I mean, we were, and that's normal in this industry, right? You don't have a lot of time to work on things. But we've played in that shape before. A guy like Alexi, who's new to the group, didn't play in that shape with us, but he played that shape at his club in Italy. So I thought it could be a good way to put him in a position that he's been in before. And if I look at it, like, in reality, the way that shape was, it got us the penalty kick. One in Jamal making runs on the sides of the center backs, and Brooks played him in behind. So maybe in that theory, it worked in one way, but in the other ways, it wasn't good enough.
And then just going one step further on that, beyond shape, the style of play, conceding possession a little bit more, being a little more direct. Mm-hmm. Were you happy with how that played out for your group?
Yeah, I mean, for the goal, for to lead to the penalty is great. I think that like it's a difficult place to play. I've been a part of a lot of games here. I've watched a lot of games here, and it's just when I look at what are we doing with the possession? Are we playing? And do we really think we can play through? Then great, let's do it. But if I think that we can be more direct and expose their center backs or expose a certain area of the pitch, let's go and do it. Let's not waste time with the ball. So. I've been that way with everything, right? The intentional possession of what we're doing with it. So whether it's here, Red Bull, or somewhere else, like I just want to make sure that we're intentional about what we're doing with the ball.
That is Atlanta United manager Rob Valentino talking at Red Bulls Arena after a 2-2 draw. Atlanta United secures 1 point, but that is not enough to make any significant moves in the table. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But when we come back here on the Full-Time Report, myself, Abe Gordon, and Joe Patrick, we will listen back to some of the highlights and unfortunately a couple there in the 97th minute, a semi-low light as well. But we'll go back through and walk you through the game tonight, a 2-2 draw for Atlanta United. It is the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back to the Full-Time Report.
Full time.
Our United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Kia Studios, 92.9 The Game. It is the Full-Time Report. Abe Gordon and Joe Patrick here. And this is, again, I mean, just what a wild ride back and forth for Atlanta United. And it was frustrating early on, and you felt good going into halftime. You get the equalizer. We're going to hear about that in just a moment. You get a huge PK save to save a draw. You get a late goal that sounds like maybe you could win this thing, and then ultimately you give up one as well. Just what a absolute back-and-forth roller coaster for the emotions. And let's take you back and see how it sounded from the voices of Atlanta United, Mike Connie and Jason Longshore. Check out some of the highlights. Brought to you by SCANA. For over 20 years, SCANA Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. It started in the 31st minute with Dante Venzier. It looked like a ball that was going to go out of bounds. Maybe Atlanta United took their foot off the gas a little bit defensively, and Red Bulls made them pay.
Right arm in the air for Tolkien. He sends it into the back post. Header by Reyes will bounce harmlessly to the near end line, then spun back in at deflected end of the net by Venzier. It looked like that was going to go out for goal kick, but it was fired back in by Carvalho, and Venzier knocks it past Guzan. It's 1-0.
That was in the 31st minute, a slow start for Atlanta United, and they concede first, but they do battle back right at the end of the first half. There is a penalty drawn. I believe that was TRA who draws the penalty. Mm-hmm. And Alexei Moranchuk, who just won MLS Goal of the Match Day, steps up and equalizes.
Atlanta 5-for-6 on penalties in league play this year. Coronel 0-for-3. Action at the goal to our right. Moranchuk standing to the right of the ball for a left-footed shot. Gets the whistle. Alexei up to it. Strikes it. Score! Atlanta United has equalized out of nowhere right at the end of the first half.
That was in the third minute of first half stoppage time. Alexi Maranchuk, confident, low and to the left corner, very well hit. And so that was equalized. You go into halftime 1-1. You make some substitutions, bring in Luke Brennan, go back to a 4-3-3 formation. But you pretty much play the majority of the second half scoreless with that 1-1 scoreline. It looked like it might stand up. But in the 87th minute, there is an odd penalty called on Jay Fortune and a chance to go ahead for New York Red Bulls.
Well, here we go. Brad, who has saved two penalties this year, is going to have to come up with more magic here. Action at the goal to our right as we cross into the 87th minute of a 1-1 game. There's the whistle, and Manuel is up to it. He strikes it. Save! Over to the touchline and out for a line and out corner. Brad's done it for the third time this year.
We'll hear from the rest of the highlights in just a moment, but Brad Guzan is speaking right now. We just heard his PK save. Let's hear what he has to say after a 2-2 draw.
If I remember correctly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not going to look back at it. So it's disappointing because you score a really good second goal, bit of magic. You're thinking, okay, we're gonna get out of here with a win. You know those last couple of minutes are going to be chaotic. You know the last couple of minutes are going to be hectic. Your body's on the line, flying around. And we fell short.
It seems, I could be wrong about this, but Valentin, Rob, was just about those small moments. You've got to be locked in and focused. And it seems like, you know, for quite a few seasons now, that's just something that the team isn't as good at as maybe it was its first 3 years. Is that fair?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you, you know, how do you teach that? You know, you can work on scenarios in training, but when you're in training and you're saying, okay, there's a minute left in a small sided game and you're down by a goal and you need to either preserve a win or whatever, and you need to go for it. It's training. It's not a game. And so, you know, when the lights come on in the stadium, you got to rise to the occasion. You know, we've got to, you know, we need to be able to count on guys, you know, and it's frustrating because you go into these moments with confidence. You go into these moments believing in the guys next to each other. They're putting in an absolute shift. And with 2 minutes to go, you can see the goal like that.
When you think back to the way the first half played out with three center backs, line of five, second half back to the 4-3-3, you know, was there a dramatic difference or do you feel like the Red Bulls kind of adapted as well?
What do you mean adapted? Like to the...
Like they were getting space wide in the first half, it felt like.
Yeah.
Then 4-3-3, that space wasn't there.
Yeah.
And then felt like a little bit more of a 50-50 game at that point.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, when you come here, you got to be ready for a battle, right? We know the type of team that they are, the individuals that they are. And, you know, I don't think we didn't deal with the speed of play in the first half. You know, just the way the ball's bouncing off the floor and we're not tracking balls over our shoulders. And, you know, it was a collective, right? And so to then go into halftime, make some adjustments. Again, it's not like we had loads of the ball in the second half. It wasn't a game where we were going to have tons of possession. But again, you throw all that out the window. I don't care about the possession. I don't care about what the numbers say. You're winning the game 2-1. You're 2 minutes to go. Got to see it out. You know, whatever it takes. We did it.
Your penalty save, did you have a gut feeling there or any kind of research or is it just reacting?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we you know, with Liam and well, Josh, you know, you watch these things, right? But
just as I would say if you were to have scored that, right? You watch penalties, you watch as much video as you can, this and that, but the modern player has the ability to close their hips, open their hips, send you the wrong way, you know, it's so yeah, today I was able to come up with the goods.
Yeah. Last one for me. You're playing a team in Philly next week that is not the same as Red Bulls, but similar.
Very similar.
They're direct, they're combative, they're going to be difficult
for sure.
In terms of the response you saw tonight, energy, work rate, fight, do you feel better about going into that game than coming into this one?
Yeah, but it's like we said after the Miami game, right? A game is 90 plus minutes. Today was 99 minutes. So if you're playing for 90, you're going to come up short. If you're playing for 97, you're going to come up short. Got to play for 99 minutes. You got to play for as long as the referee doesn't blow his whistle. And so, you know, we talked about, hey, listen, how we finish Miami is how we need to play and do that for the entire game. And I think at times tonight we battled the first half, you know, forget the tactics and the shape and whatnot. We didn't tackle. We didn't win second balls. Those are little moments. Those are details that subconsciously send a message to the opposition saying, damn, we're under it here. Every time there's a second ball, they're picking up the second ball. Well, at the same time, it's sending the same message to us saying, every time there's a second ball or every time there's a 50-50 tackle or 60-40 tackle, we're not winning the tackle. We tackle, you know, like freaking hell. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, you know what I can relate to, Joe? And look, I am not a professional. I before I even say this, I am very aware I'm not a professional soccer player.
Good for you.
I want you to keep that in mind as I say this.
Right. Same.
Because like Brad, kind of, like at the lowest level, I do also play goalie. And I can tell.
Here we go.
I can tell in his voice.
Yeah.
Because I've had these games at the level of bumhood that I play with.
Mm-hmm.
I've had these games where you do everything as a goalie to keep your team in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just dying for someone on your team to help you out.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is the feeling that Goose is left with today. And look, he's not going to throw any of his teammates under the bus. I think we know that. But I also think you can tell, based on some of the responses, if you can read in between the lines, you know, goalie to goalie, of course.
Hey, I'm media game goalie, too, so I'm right here with you.
Well, he's like 9 goals given up in that game.
First half, though, I mean.
But I do think there is that feeling of, I put my team on this back. It could have been 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And legitimately, he has the right to feel that way. It could have been 5, 6 goals in this one. And you finally get to the point in the 92nd minute with that Edwin Mosquera goal where you get the feeling like, thankfully, my effort today is going to be rewarded with 3 points and not one. And then, obviously, the frustration comes where it flips. And I think we've all been in a situation, whether you've been goalie or not, whether you know you see Braves pitchers who have had great outings and the offense can't score, whether it's the Falcons defense throwing a great game and Kirk Cousins is out of pistol 100% of the snap. Like, whatever it's going to be, a little too close to home. A little too close to
home.
He went there. But whatever it's going to be, I think we've all been in the situation where you feel like you put forth a gargantuan effort and no one else came with you.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what Brad is feeling right now. And I think he has the right to feel that way.
Yeah, a little bit of exasperation.
And it matters, you know, maybe you don't feel that way the fourth game of the season.
Right.
But when you've got 4 games left and the points matter and it's right there for you, that one hurts.
And I think some of the, because he's also, I think, frustrated at the way that some of these chances were coming about for Red Bulls, which he kind of acknowledged there, like it's just kind of a run off the shoulder, you know, where it should be a routine thing for a defender or, you know, a couple of your defenders to be able to sort out and suss out and not really just immediately generate a chance on you. But And, you know, listen, I think a goalkeeper like Brad Guzan would be very happy to go through a game without making a single save, because that probably means the team is playing well and winning the game, most likely. He would be very content with that. He's there to be the last line of defense, right? That's the role of the goalkeeper. But he was just being relied on far too often tonight. Now, you know, listen, if you get to the end of the game, you win, it doesn't matter how you do it. As long as you get those 3 points, that's all that, you know, Brad cares about at the end of the day, clearly. And I think that, yeah, we're just seeing frustration there from him, because I got to feel like he thinks that he did everything he could to help this team, including saving a penalty in the waning moments where the game, the season really was on the line. To that extent, he was doing everything for this team possible, and, you know, still just wasn't enough.
It's also just the accumulation of results that have been frustrating for various reasons that feel the same as this one. There's been plenty. And look, you had one or two, right, that went in your favor, right? TRA stealing a goal and stealing a win. I mean, you could think of a couple that have gone in your favor, but for the most part, there's a lot of late game letdowns or moments of letdown that have cost you points. And obviously, earlier in the season, maybe you don't feel like it adds up, but now that you're at the final stage of this season, 4 games left after tonight, and you're like, oh man, a couple of points here and there could have really made a difference.
Yeah, and I think what really kills Brad, just listening to him talk, is, you know, the fact that, you know, that critical mistake comes right at the end of the game, and, you know, this team is so close to seeing out an incredibly important result for their season. I mean, like, a win in this game would really change the way that we're talking about this team, the way that we're projecting, you know, how
they could
potentially finish.
With 2 minutes left in this game, they were in the ninth spot. They were in the playoffs.
Right.
2 minutes left in this game.
Right, right. And now they're on the outside looking in, and, you know, it's not going to get any easier with Philadelphia coming up. And, you know, I thought he put it really well, saying that, you know, it's not about playing 90 minutes. It's about playing 99 minutes. You know, it's not about playing 97 minutes. It's about playing 99. So you can never kind of let your guard down in that sense, and I think that's what frustrates him, especially when he played as well as he did tonight.
Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $12,000. When we come back here on the Full-Time Report, we'll take a look at some of the results from around the league. A couple of them maybe helped Atlanta United. A couple of them certainly hurt Atlanta United. We'll also go a little bit deeper into the game tomorrow, which is going to be integral in terms of Atlanta United's chance to find themselves in the postseason when this regular season is done. So that's what's coming your way next. It is the Full-Time Report. Abe Gordon and Joe Patrick here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back with more Full-Time Report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in to the Full-Time Report. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Abe Gordon and Joe Patrick here. And I want to take a look at the MLS table, the updated live table, if you will. Also, some of the results that are impacting Atlanta United tonight. We had a couple that we were looking for, a couple of specific possibilities here. Charlotte beating New England would help Atlanta. They did that earlier in the day, 4-0. Orlando City fell to Columbus 4-3. Crazy game there, but that one helped Atlanta, I guess. Montreal and Chicago, we were hoping for either a draw or a Chicago win, but it is Montreal who picks up the win. They now, on the back of 3 points tonight, jump into the playoff spot, I think, for the first time in a couple of weeks. I think they've been below Atlanta for a while. So that one goes against Atlanta. Nashville and Cincinnati, we were hoping for a Cincinnati win. Right now it stands as a draw. They're in stoppage time, but holding Nashville to 1 point better than nothing. Colorado and Toronto in first half, they're at halftime. We'd like to see Colorado score one in that one and keep Toronto down. But right now, Toronto is getting a point from that one. And the big one here, Joe, is tomorrow.
Yep.
Because a real quick look at the live table, which, again, could change. For instance, if Toronto concedes, they'll be down to 36, not on 37 points. If Nashville either wins, they could move up. But if they concede, they'll be down as well. Toronto's in eighth at 37 currently. Montreal in ninth with 34. Philly Atlanta, and D.C. are all on 33. Nashville right now on 33 as well. Philly and D.C., like I said, tied with Atlanta at 33. They go head-to-head tomorrow. And so at least one of them will be adding a point. The question is one of these teams going to add 1 point, or are they going to add 3 points? And based on the scenario right now, I think Atlanta is probably desperate for these two teams to draw. Maybe if you had to have a win, do you want Philly to win? They're above you right now, but you have a head-to-head.
I
DC's below you, but you don't play head-to-head.
Right, right.
So you feel like if DC won, you would still have the tiebreaker. I mean, you're really desperate for 1 point out of the for each of those teams. You're desperate for that to be a draw.
I think that if Atlanta United is going to make the playoffs, I think they're going to have to finish above the Philadelphia Union. It's hard for me to see Philadelphia and Atlanta United both making the playoffs. It could happen because Nashville is only 2 points up on Atlanta United, and Toronto's 4 points up. So those teams are definitely still catchable, but the fact that these two teams, Atlanta and Philadelphia, play next week, Atlanta still has some tough games. They're going to play this Red Bulls team again in their last four games.
Forget about Red Bulls right now. Forget about Orlando City. Your next two games right now are the two teams directly ahead of you, and 1 point is not going to do it. Right. That's just the base of it all. If you had gotten 3 today, maybe you could find a way that 1 point against either Philly or Montreal would have done it, especially perhaps if Philly had lost to D.C. To that game that we're talking about tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right now, you have got to get 6 points.
You have to be gaining ground on these teams. And that's like
if
the sport was gave out 1 point and the other team got no points, then that would be great. But the fact that both teams get a point means you're not making up any ground on these teams who are already above you in the standings for the playoffs. So, yeah, you've got to get results. You got to get wins, really, against these two teams if this team's going to make the playoffs. So I think you got to root for Philadelphia to lose this thing, because I think you just have to finish above them.
Well, you're rooting for a draw. But if you had to pick one team to win, it'd probably be D.C.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd probably be D.C. So that's what we have tomorrow night. That's what we're looking for in regards to the MLS schedule and kind of what is, I guess, ideal for Atlanta United. But it is pretty cut and dried. If you don't get 6 points in your next two match, I don't know if results against Red Bulls and Orlando City will matter, at least in terms of, look, you are in 11th place right now. There's potential if DC gets points tomorrow, you'll be in 12th place.
I got them in 12th right now. I don't know what you got. Anyway.
I have a live table that has them in 11th.
Okay.
So,
by the way, the Nashville-Cincinnati game just went final, 2-2.
2-2. So Nashville's going to stay in 13th at 33 points, and there's a bunch of them.
They're in 9th.
No, Montreal's in 9th at 34. Your table is just pathetic.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is.
What website are you using?
I'm using FOTMob, the app.
I'm on the official MLS website.
Ooh, there we go.
I saw stuff jumping up and down.
There we go.
Look.
Sorry, I didn't mean to throw us off track there. Right. They have the standings wrong on their website.
Of course, I know I'm right. I wasn't trying to say it. I know that I'm right. Do you know how often I'm right, Joe?
When I'm right, I'm right.
You're always right. It's always right. Here's the thing. I think you still control your own destiny. I think
absolutely.
Your playoff spot
yeah,
is in your own hands.
Yeah.
But it's only in your hands for the next two games.
Right.
Because you cannot control what happens outside of your heads-up matches. And the heads-up matches, the next two games, Philly and Montreal, have got to be 6 points. If you go into that final two-game stretch, home against Red Bulls, road against Orlando City, with that out of your control, where you can't necessarily just catch teams, even if you pick up 3 points, it's probably done. And so you have got to get above Philly and got to get above Montreal before you're done with both of them. That's going to require 6 points in two matches.
Yeah, but I would say actually the silver lining in this situation, this predicament that Atlanta finds themselves in, is actually the fact that you actually – You actually want to be playing the teams directly above you,
of course,
in the playoff race to have a chance to make it. So they have that opportunity, at least, in front of them. Now, granted, this team has not won back-to-back games this season since the second and third game of the season. So stringing together any kind of consistent results has been obviously a struggle so far. And that will have to turn around in this next four games for this team to make the playoffs. But, hey, they've got the opportunity to do what they need to do to get in there.
Absolutely. We'll be keeping an eye on that game tomorrow. I lie. We'll read about it after the fact. We're going to be all watching NFL. Like, we're not, yeah, not exactly going to be too. Now,
I'll check the score on my phone.
I got four TVs.
I'm going to be working, and too. So, I got an excuse.
Sure.
You don't see, you just mentioned how many TVs you're going to be in front of. You got no excuse.
I'll have it on.
Okay.
I'll have it on because I do believe this game is actually going to be on Fox Sports 1 tomorrow.
Oh, so, okay.
So not that it would have mattered. I have the Apple. I paid right. for the package and all that. So,
right.
But I'll have it on. So it'll be on the third TV, obviously. Two NFL games and Braves and who knows what else is yeah. going on. Maybe it'll be on TV 4. So yeah. we'll figure that out tomorrow. All right. It is the full-time report. Having fun with Joe Patrick. This is Abe Gordon. Atlanta United does pick up a point, but it is a 2-2 draw against the New York Red Bulls. They were 2 minutes out from picking up all three. It would have been a massive result, but that is not the case. When we come back, we will continue with more analysis. We'll also get some of your thoughts and reactions and questions. If you have any right now, make sure to send them on Twitter at 929thegain, at Abe Gordon. What is it? At J.A. Patrick. Is there a 2-3 in there?
Yeah. Oh, you're really close. 200. Yeah. J.A. Patrick, 200. Yeah.
There are 199 J.A. Patricks?
I initially signed up for Hotmail. I was just going to say J.A. Patrick at Hotmail.com, and they said they've already taken, so I needed numbers, so I added 200. That's what they recommended. This was in, like, 2001, probably, when I signed up for this email. So,
do you know how close you are to me thinking you're a bot? I mean, you're two numbers away, because if you got five numbers in your account name, you're bot.
Yeah, fair. That's fair.
So you're close.
I actually was a bot at some point last year when my account was hacked and stolen away from me.
There you go. There's too many people here at 929 who've had their Twitter account hacks. That's neither here nor there. All right, we'll continue with the MLS analysis or something that sounds maybe close to that on the other side. It's the full-time report on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Full-time. Our United play here. Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Welcome back in. Final couple of moments. The full-time report. Abe Gordon and Joe Patrick here. I do want to, let it be known that New York Red Bulls did honor one of Atlanta United members tonight. Dax McCarty, who won a couple of supporter shields, was MLS team of one of those years when he was with, I don't remember what year.
I don't either.
When he was with Red Bulls, I think he got one MLS Cup with them, two supporter shield, but I think one MLS Cup maybe.
I have no idea.
Something like that. they were, I don't know if they retired a jersey. I mean, it says 198.
I think it's probably the amount of appearances they made.
Probably not retiring that number.
It's
certainly not the amount of goals. So
right, we know that.
But Dax McCarty, cool, who of course we talked about. Did announce his retirement at the end of the season and had an outstanding MLS career. So congratulations to him and honor well-deserved from Red Bulls, his former team. And that now sets Atlanta United up for the game next week. And we've talked about it a little bit. We'll find out what sort of form and exactly where the standings fall and shape out after tomorrow when Philly and DC get together for, again, we're hoping for a draw in this one. If one team has to win it, we probably would prefer it be DC United. I think you still hold the tiebreaker over them, whereas right now I'm not sure you hold that over Philly. You have an opportunity heads up with Philly either way. So, it's looking more and more like the game against Philly next week, the game against Montreal, and let me see, is that that's going to a midweek game.
Midweek, yeah.
That midweek game. So you're going to have two games in the span of 4 days, 5 days, depending on if you count the game day. I don't know if you 4 days, 5 days, whatever it is. You're gonna have two games in the span of 5 days that you pretty much need 6 points or the run might be done.
Yeah.
And so you can't win 6 points in the first match, even though it's a 6-point swing. But you can't win six in the first match. You have to focus and cliche it up, right? One game at a time. We can only focus on who's next and what's in front of us and what's on the field, the pitch. But
I mean, I think that Philly game is kind of season defining. I know it's not over. The season's not over if they were to lose that, but I really think they have
make
to
make your
have to,
season. Right. It can break it though.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It can only go one way. It can extend your season.
Exactly. Exactly. But it can give you more hope.
Yeah.
Which is maybe why we actually get a result there. Because, you know, it's the hope that kills you in the end. That's what I know as a sports fan. It's the hope.
Real sports fans hope. Have no hope. You should know that living in Atlanta long enough. Ah, boy. All
that's
right.
The problem is
that that's going to do it here for the full-time report. Again, at 6:30 next week, we'll have the Five Stripes countdown as we get ready for that game in Philadelphia, Subaru Park. So we'll keep an eye on that one. And then certainly, again, the midweek we'll have for you as well. But for Joe Patrick, I am Abe Gordon. Safe travels, as always, to Mike Connie and Jason Longshore as they make their way back from Harrison, New Jersey. Want to thank Dom Cherosky as well, getting things done on the other side of the glass. That's going to do it tonight on the Full-Time Report. Atlanta United one point as they come away with a 2-2 draw at Red Bulls Arena. Disappointing. 2 minutes away from all three, but they couldn't quite do it, and they find themselves currently out of the playoff race. That is the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You've been listening to the Full-Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.